welcome this morning, and we thank you so much for that. Thank you. Well, let me pray before we get into God's word. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we can come together this morning and sing praises to you. For you are worthy. You are the only one worthy of all our praise. And we thank you, dear God, that we can come together and praise you with one heart. And we thank you, dear God, that we can pray to you and that you listen to every word that we pray. You're a God who listens. And we thank you, dear God, that we can come to you and listen to you. And we can hear from you. That you have given us your words. So, Lord, help us, dear Lord, to understand your words this morning. May your Holy Spirit give us understanding. May your Holy Spirit give us a boldness to live it out, so that we may live lives that give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the passage that God placed on my heart this morning, or last week, to share with you, is a familiar passage. It's a short passage. So if you want to open up your Bibles or your apps, or grab someone else's phone, you can do that. And we're just going to read through Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, send out workers into the harvest field." That is the word of the Lord. As I read that and as you follow along, what do you like about that passage? I know I'm taking a risk here being interactive so early, but go with me. His compassion. Fantastic. He's compassionate. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is compassionate. Love that about this story. Yep, awesome. He's a healer. He has power. Not only is he compassionate, he has power. Wow. What else do you like about this story? Gives the good news. Wow, both of you said that. Wow. Wow. This is a very tight church. Yes. Brings the good news. Brings the good news. He's compassionate. He can heal. And he brings the good news to the people. Love that. Well, that's the end of my sermon. I'm done. You guys have stolen all my points today already. Wow. And one of the things I love about this passage is that it helps me focus on the mission of God. It helps me focus that he's compassionate, that he heals, that he brings the good news. He helps me keep focus on what is the mission of God. Because we can get a little lost in what we're supposed to be doing out there. When we get out on the field, and I've spoken to some of you already this morning, you know, all sorts of things come up. I'm done this morning. That was my first point. Absolutely. So this is a passage that very, very, in a summary form, keeps me focused on what the mission of God is. And so in verse 35, this is what it says. This is what was just pointed out. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. It just summarizes, what does Jesus do? What does he physically do? He goes from town to town making the good news available. He goes from town to town. He goes out to them. He doesn't wait for them to come to him. He goes out to them, village to village, town to town. And he teaches. He takes time to teach. That takes time to sit and to teach. For those here who organize Sunday school material, now you know how much time it takes to teach our little kids. You know it takes time. And Jesus took the time to teach. And I applaud that for those who teach our children. You teach everyone. So he teaches, he goes from town to town, and he evangelizes. He proclaims the good news. He's got wonderful news to tell. The kingdom of God is here. It's for all of you. Come, enter God's kingdom. Even though you don't deserve it. Even though you're not worthy. Even though you may feel you're not worthy. You're worthy. Come. The kingdom of God is here. And he heals. The man says, he has the power to heal. We see Jesus doing all these things, and this is where I get excited, because it affirms me in what we do in our mission. So he goes through all the towns and villages, teaching, proclaiming the good news, and healing. We go from town to town, village to village. And we're talking very small villages, maximum size maybe 200, 300 people. And we travel from village to village, sharing the good news. We take our time to teach. So where there is a church, and there's very, very few churches, but there's very few churches, where there is a church, we will go and we will teach and we'll equip the church. Right? So here you see Jesus going to the synagogues and he teaches there. So we do a similar thing. If there is a church, we'll go and teach. And I want to thank you so much for your support, both in prayers and financially, because it enables us to go and teach. It enables us to resource churches with a library of books that they didn't even know existed. For one, the best book there is, of course, is the Bible. Give them access to the Bible. To give them books that they just didn't know existed. And that we're very fortunate. We live in an age where these books are actually translated into Thai. I go, wow, I don't have to translate these books. Thank God for that, or else we'll have some very terrible translations. But they don't have access to them. And we, through your support, through your partnership, we give them access to that. To those massive resources that are out there. We also go out and we proclaim the good news. These people have never heard of the good news of Jesus Christ. They may have heard of who Jesus is. A little funny things, talking about a funny story. We would go up to people and ask them, do you know who Jesus is? And Thai people are so nice that they don't want to say no.
they'll actually say, yeah, he actually lives down there. If you turn left, go to the right, he's on the house on the right. And you go, what? But they literally do not know who Jesus is. Whereas here we have an opportunity to reject Jesus. Yeah? And people have actually taken the opportunity to go, hey, I'm going to reject that good news. Whereas where the context that I'm in, they've never even heard or had the opportunity to reject Jesus. I don't know how good the good news is. So through your partnership, we help people get to know the gospel. And it takes time. It's not a one-off, hey, here's the gospel, take it or leave it. It's constantly visiting them week after week, sharing a little bit more, deeper, again, 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 in various ways. So there's where we do discipleship, we do these in groups, in their homes, and even here, this picture on the right-hand side, you're right, that's at a shop. This lady's shop. She runs a little drink stand. And so we go to her and we run a Bible study in front of her drink stand. And I'm constantly interrupted by clients coming in asking for a drink. And I get annoyed. I've prepared this beautiful Bible study and these people come in and like, oh, can I get a Coca-Cola or, you know, can I get a hot chocolate? Oh, they don't ask for hot chocolate, really. It's too hot for that. But you know what? The lady who runs the shop, her name's Kunbun, she will go ahead and evangelize. She's not a believer of any great depth. She will evangelize. Customers will ask, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're reading the Bible. Do you want to come and join? She's there mixing a drink for them and goes, what's that music you're playing? Oh, it's about Jesus. Do you know who he is? She's just sharing what she knows about Jesus. So we do that in these groups. In largish groups, one-on-one groups that we go and we disciple and we share the gospel. And we use various different ways to try and share the gospel. We share them orally by stories. We use printed material that shows pictures in a way that relates to them. Right? So we're not trying to show pictures of a Jesus with long blonde hair, right? They may be more Asian looking, so they can connect with them a little bit, okay? But it's to get them connected with, this is our story. This is a story that relates to us. And through your help, we also provide radios, audio material, right? A lot of the people that we deal with are not able to read. Either they haven't learned to read or their eyesight is so bad. Others, see some people just love to hear. They love music. So if you give them the gospel in music form, they love it. This lady, I gave her this radio, and the following week we came to her house. We're about four houses down and I can hear this music blast. And we got there and she's there blasting it away. And I'm going, Auntie, what are you doing? She goes, I love this song. She's just playing it out to all her neighbors. It's great that the gospel goes out that way. It gives us the opportunity to go to her neighbors and go, hey, do you like that music being blurred out? It says in this passage that Jesus healed every disease. I don't have the gift of healing. One of our other team members does, but I don't. So how do I obey this passage? Well, I try and help provide for their needs. So this lady here, she can't use her legs. And so we gave her a wheelchair. Right? Part of the funding that you provide goes to a wheelchair. And I think that's like so basic, right? She was involved in an accident maybe 15 years ago. When she left the hospital, they didn't give her a wheelchair. Like here in Australia, you're just given a wheelchair. Not over there. So we gave her a wheelchair. And we took her outside of her house. And she said, wow, there's a house here now. There used to be just a rice field. And I asked her, I said, how long has it been since you've been out of your house? She goes, I haven't been out of the house for 10 years. 10 years. She was just smiling ear to ear of a simple wheelchair provided that freedom and that, wow, I can get out of the house. Wow, my neighborhood has changed. And she was just talking to each of the neighbors. Hey, how you doing? It's me. I'm still alive. It's amazing. There's a picture there, Clarissa, with an elderly grandma who's become a strong believer. And we provide for her some food. Little cartons of Milo. For us, again, it's so simple. But to her, that's the most nutritious thing that she's going to get all week. And you know what? I'm amazed with her. I used to come when I started visiting her maybe 8 years ago. I would come with some snacks, and she'd go, oh, what snacks have you got for me today? You know? And sometimes she would even reject my snack because, oh, I don't like those. But now I come now, the last 4 years, I've been coming with a bag of snacks and a printout of a Bible passage. She now asks for the Bible passage first. I go, she'll say to me, what have you got in your hand? I go, oh, the snacks? No, that. The passage. Read it to me. She's become hungry for God's word. More than the food that we give her. Isn't that amazing? God's word is still the power of salvation today. Amen. Even simple things like playing bingo, teaching kids English. I was speaking to someone else this morning about teaching English to kids and seeing them grow and then them becoming believers. It happened. Little acts of seeing where the need is and fulfilling the need. God is in that. And we look after the elderly and the sick and the bedridden. Simply visit them, spend time with them, and say to them, Jesus loves you. Jesus is not throwing you away. In verse 36, it says this, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Someone said, had compassion. Jesus had compassion. Our Lord and Savior who died on the cross for us has compassion. And this word here in the original language, we want to get a little nerdy here. This original word is not, he could have chosen a lot of different words to mean the same thing, compassion. But here it's this gut-wrenching emotion. In other words, if we were like to have an Aussie version of this, he would have said, Jesus was gutted. He was gutted when he saw the people. It moved him internally. It wasn't just a thinking, oh, I like these people. No, he was like, oh my goodness, these people are helpless. These people are without a shepherd. Let me take you to Ezekiel. If you've got your Bibles, open up to Ezekiel chapter 34. I'm sorry I don't have this up on the screen. Ezekiel 34. And I'll start from verse 2. And if you've got time this week, take some time to go through Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, and I'll start from verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat curds, clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter of choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. Strong words, eh? This is written 600 years before Jesus. Israel was in trouble long before Jesus came and said, oh, I'm gutted that these people don't have shepherds. Ezekiel told them 600 years before that. And Jesus arrives and it's still the same situation. People are still without the shepherd. But we read on. If we read further into Ezekiel 34, verse 11 says this. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. So this is the word of the God. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and the ravines and in all the settlements of the land. Did you hear it? I. It's going to come a time when God says, I've had enough. I'm going to do it. I'm going to look after the sheep. I'm going to rescue my flock. I'm going to look after them. And he does. Jesus has compassion. And he looks after. He rescues us. And he cares for us. Each and every one of you today has a story to share of how Jesus cares for you, shepherds you, has rescued you. He longs to do that. Thousand years after Jesus, we still have many people without a sheep, without a shepherd. What do you see when you see the crowds? Lost. How do you feel when you see the crowds? Gutted. Jesus was gutted. And then he says this, verse 37. Oh, I get to verse 37. This is kind of stuff that we see in Esau. We see people who are lost and helpless, who worship, they say they're Buddhists, but they'll worship spirits, their ancestor spirits. And they live out of fear, because if they don't do this, bad things will happen to them. That's what they believe in. If they don't do the rituals, bad things will happen to them. If they don't feed the monks, bad things will happen to them. They live out of fear. That's very different to us, isn't it? We have this freedom in Christ, and we live out of joy. We live out of love. We live out of grace. Not fear. We want to give them that same freedom, that same joy. They need to know the Good Shepherd. This is what it says then. Jesus, this is stunning, because out of Jesus saying he's gutted, it says these people don't have a shepherd. It is so interesting that he then says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out the workers. Isn't it interesting that this is his response? If I was Jesus, I'd go, hey, here I am. I'm the one. I'm the good shepherd. Come to me. Jesus says, go and ask God. In other words, go and pray that he sends out workers. And it's real interesting that in this context, and also in the same passage in Luke, where Luke talks about there being a harvest that is plentiful and the workers are few, in both contexts, soon after this, Jesus sends out the 12. In Luke, he sends out the 72. Straight after he says this. God's mission begins and continues out of prayer, out of a total dependency on God. But that total dependency in God doesn't mean we pray to God, we depend on you, God, you do it, I'm sitting down. When we pray, God, his people have no shepherd, they're lost. Listen to what God says. He'll be calling you to go. He'll be calling you to go out to them. You would be the answer to your own prayer. I know that because that's what's happened to me. Remarkable. This man is seven. Are you thorough? Keep forgetting how old he is. 86 years old. Do we have anyone here older than 86? Raise your hand, please. Older than 86. Congratulations. Amen. Praise God you're here today. How old are you, sir? 99. Whoa. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd love to hear your story of what God's been doing in your life. Wow. Well, this man, he's a youngin' compared to you. He's one of our teenagers in our in Insan. He's 86. And Lung Wen, Uncle Wen, came up to me one day and he says, Dennis, I've been reading the story of Jericho. Can we go and do that? And I went like, what? What walls do you want crushed down? Like, what were you talking about? And he says, no, can we go around my village and pray around it for 7 days? Can we just pray? I'm asking. Just let's go and pray for 7 days. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Let's do that. So on the first day, me and him went around his village and we prayed. On day three, John and another believer, another lady joined us. So there was four of us who prayed around the village. By the fifth day, John's family, her parents, joined us. So there were six of us praying around the village. And by this time, they're getting pretty excited. They're going, oh, this is awesome. This is great. And me as a missionary, I'm getting a little scared. I'm getting a little worried that these guys' hopes and expectations are getting pretty high up there. And so I go, calm down, guys. You know, as a faithful missionary, I need to tell you, nothing may happen. Because I'm being honest out here. I'm putting it out there right now. Like, that's how sometimes the fear gets in. Right? And you go, well, what happens if nothing happens? What happens if nothing happens? And so I'm trying to tell them, calm down. Nothing may happen. Well, a week after we prayed, we went and visited this man. He's 90. They're close, but not yet there. He's 90. We visit him and we start just talking, just chit-chat. And then he says to me, hey, I've got a question for you. And it's a question that I've been holding in my heart for 40 years. I went, that's exactly what I said. I said, wow. What? For 40 years? What question do you have that you've been holding in your heart for 40 years? And he said, 40 years ago, I went to Bangkok, the big city, the main city, capital city of Thailand, and he says, I saw a sign, and it said, Jesus washes away your sins. I want to know, my question is, how does Jesus do that? I went like, wow. So I said to the guys that were with us, I said to Uncle Wen, all right, let's just pray. Pray that we can share this clearly and that he'll understand, the Holy Spirit will convict him. We did. After about an hour of explaining the gospel, he just turned around and said, yeah, I believe that. And that day he became a child of God. By that stage, there was about six or seven other neighbors that were listening in. And so I said to him, his name's Grandpa Blian, which means Grandpa Change. What a name, hey? So Grandpa Change, I said, hey, now that you're a child of God, you need to learn how to live like a child of God. Would you like us to come back every week and go through Bible stories? He goes, yeah, I'd love that. And I said, what about you guys all? You guys want to come back? Next week they said, yeah. The following week there was 10 people at his house listening to Bible story. The week after that, there was 15. This praying. This happens despite of me saying, calm down, because nothing's going to happen. Shame on me. But praise God that when we pray, God answers. God still has compassion. God still wants to rescue lost sheep. God is still mighty and powerful. God is still sending out his workers. So who are the lost sheep around you? Oh, I bet names are popping in your mind right now. And you're trying to get them out there. You're trying to like, I don't want to know, I don't want to blurt them out loud. All I'm asking this morning is we look at this passage and we go, it's God. And maybe there's people out there you've been praying for years for. Keep praying. Keep praying. God is mighty. God is full of compassion. God is at work. God will send out the workers. Can I pray? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, you are amazing. You are so full of compassion. You love us. We've made such a mess of life. We're so lost. We're so helpless. Father, we need you. We thank you that you've come into our lives, that you are the good shepherd, and you've said, I will rescue them. I will protect them. I will feed them. I will pasture them. God, we thank you that you have taken on that role. We thank you that we have a good shepherd to point people to. So, Father, for the people that you've placed in our hearts, we pray for them. And we pray, just as Jesus asked us to pray, we pray, Lord, that you would send out the workers. Lord, would you open our eyes? Would you see the crowds? Would you help us to feel what you feel when you see the crowds? Lord, may we have the same compassion that you have. Only you can do that for us. It's not something we can artificially create. Lord, may we listen to you. Call us out. You call us to join you in the harvest. But may you give us the boldness.